to turn in God's Word to the book of Hosea, and the chapter 2 of the book of Hosea. I want to read verses 19 and 20 to leave them with you. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus says to us, who he has called in the gospel. The prophet here is writing this down as the words of the Lord, and the Lord is telling of his love for us as sinners. I will betroth thee unto me. He's telling us how he thinks about us, how he feels about us. We don't deserve this. He doesn't say this because we're righteous and good people. We're sinners. He says it in grace, I will betroth thee unto me. You see, the prophet Hosea is a unique prophet, because not only were his words prophecy, but his life was prophecy. Because Hosea had a unique calling in regard to his marriage. He had to marry a woman who had a propensity to adultery. We know that he had 3 children by her. The first one certainly was his. She bore his child, and that was Jezreel. The other two, there is a question mark about them. And Hosea the prophet was deliberately brought into that in the providence of God to be a picture lesson, so that everybody looking on would see Hosea and how he's so faithful to his wife and who is so unfaithful to him, and how she has gone around playing, as it were, the harlot, and yet he takes her back. And he loves her still. People are amazed at him. And he's a symbol. Because God says to his people, you're just like that to me. You too tame. You have idols. You don't love me all the time the way you should. You're given to backsliding. That's us. That's you and me. And we're around this table not because we're worthy and because we're righteous, because we're perfectly holy. No, we're around here because our Savior is a covenant-keeping Savior, who, when he called us in the gospel and when we came to him, he said these words to us. I will betroth thee unto me. He says it 3 times. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me. I will even betroth thee unto me. And you'll know the Lord. The Lord's 3 persons. The Father says, I betroth thee unto me. The Son says, I will betroth thee unto me. The Holy Spirit says, I will betroth thee unto me. So it's not only said because we have doubts and we fear, so we need to hear it to be assured. But there's a threeness here. For God is one and God is 3. We're married in Jesus Christ to the triune God. And so it's said 3 times. And what's the image of his love for us? Well, it's the image of betrothal, isn't it? An engagement in Israel was like a marriage. There was no consummation. And in our marriage to Jesus Christ, there's no consummation until we're in the marriage supper of the Lamb and with him. But we're betrothed to him. We're engaged. And that's a covenant. You can't break that covenant. It's as solid as marriage in Israel. And you couldn't break an engagement. To break an engagement was adultery, just as much as to break a marriage. The Lord says, I'll betroth thee to me. I've engaged you to myself. To marry you, to be mine, to be my spouse, to be my wife. And that's the image that he uses of his love. Because there's no closer relationship on earth amongst men than marriage. And that's what the Lord picks to tell us how close he wants to be to us and how close he wants us to him. He picks it also not because of the closeness, but also because it's a covenant relationship. You know, you're kind of two opposites and two different, and yet in a covenant you come together, that's unbreakable. And the Lord says, this is covenantal language, a covenant with you. It's a New Testament, a new covenant. So the image is of marriage, covenantal marriage. And the promise, the Lord chose us. You know, how do you get your bride? You choose her, don't you? Out of all the women in the world, you choose your bride. And it's a man's sovereign right to do that. And the one he chooses is privileged. And God chooses. And nobody has a right to say, that's not fair. I mean, do all the women in the world say, that's not fair, you didn't choose me? No. It's a man's prerogative to choose who he wants to love, who he wants to be with. And that's God. He elects. He chooses. It's his prerogative. It's not unfair to anybody else who's left behind, who he doesn't choose. They can't say it's unfair. He chooses to love who he chooses. Just like in a marriage. But usually when you choose someone, you find something that's attractive. But the Lord saw nothing attractive in us. In fact, we were ugly. We were vile. We were stinky. And that's the amazing thing about God's love, isn't it? That he can choose to love the unlovable. And the deformed. It's just mind-boggling, the love of God. And yet he comes to us with all the ugliness of our sinfulness. And he says, I betroth you to me. That's what Jesus Christ does in the grace of God. Sinners, the unrighteous that he came to call, he betroths us to himself. And so because you feel unworthy, doesn't mean that Christ rejects you. He chooses unworthy. He loves him. If he's called you in the gospel and you've come to him and you've believed in him and you've embraced him as your Savior, it's because he betrothed you to him. He chose you. And so this is a wonderful picture of his love for us. But not only is there an image here of this love and relationship, there is a duration of it referred to. He says, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Forever. Nothing can break it. You remember how we often sometimes say the Lord's married to the backslider? It's true. He'll allure her back. Just as Hosea had to go and allure Gomer back. He had to go and buy her back. I don't know where she ended up. He had to go and buy her back. Unworthy as she was. But he did it. Because he was married to her at the commandment of God. To be a picture of the Lord to Israel. I'll take you back. I'll win you back. Betroth thee unto me forever. And then he tells about the foundation of it. And he mentions five things. Five is the number of grace. This marriage relationship, this enduring covenant, is a covenant of grace. The first thing he says, I betroth thee unto me in righteousness. In righteousness. That's an amazing thing. That the Lord could take us in as unworthy and sinners. God justifying the ungodly. How does he do that? In righteousness. In righteousness. Jesus Christ dies. Jesus Christ brings in his righteousness. He answers. He pays all their debts. It's in righteousness that it's done. Nobody can point the finger and say, God's as wicked and vile as those that he took in. No, he did it in righteousness. In the cross work of Jesus Christ. He did it in the blood of his dear son. It was all done in righteousness. Founded in righteousness. And then in judgment. We might say justice, but we keep the word judgment. It's founded in judgment because the Lord will judge us. If we go astray, he's chasing us. There'll always be judgment here. Whenever we decline away from him, he will send judgments and chastenings, as he did to Israel. Because this is founded in judgment, this covenant. So there's justice and judgment and righteousness. And then in loving kindness. Of course that's there. It's the middle one, isn't it? The third of the five. It's the greatest of all. That's why he chose us. That's why he betrothed us to himself. That's why he drew us. Because of his love. God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. In love. The greatest of these is love. In loving kindness. And in mercies. That reminds us that we're sinners. That the loving kindness isn't because of our worthiness. Because we also need mercies. And it's a covenant of grace. And mercies are at the heart of it. Mercies for our sins. Compassion for us as sinners. You know, child of God, the Lord loves you. I know you're not perfect. I know that you sometimes stray, as we all do. But he has mercies. That's just the nature of him. The mercies of the Lord are for everlasting, for everlasting. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Mercies. Have you just underlined the word mercies tonight? If that's all you went home with. Oh, I feel such a wretched sinner. You're married to him who has not mercy. Mercies. Mercies. And then faithfulness. Verse 20. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. Loyalty. What did we sing? What did we sing there? Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath. Free and faithful. Faithful. Strong as death. The Lord's loyal to us. He's faithful. And you know, we should mirror them towards him in our life. We should be righteous. And we should be just. And we should judge people justly and kindly. And have something of this mercy in our own lives. We should be like the Lord. And we should reciprocate his kindness to us. We should love him. And we should have kindness and a heart for him. As he has a heart for us. I mean, that's expected in a marriage, isn't it? It's two-way. It's reciprocated. Yes, it all begins. It's all initiated with God. But he expects us to return it. He doesn't expect us to spurn his love. He doesn't expect that. So reciprocate it. And especially reciprocate the faithfulness. The loyalty. Be faithful. Reciprocate it. And then the fruit of it. Lastly. And thou shalt know the Lord. Oh, he brings us into relationship and all these things. And this is the foundation of it. And the result of it is all that you'll have a growing relationship with God. And you'll get to know him. You'll know the Lord. That's what it's all about. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. Know the Lord. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that's what this marriage brings us to. It brings us to the knowledge of God. It's not just a heady knowledge. It's a relationship where you appreciate him. And you love him and you commune with him. Where you know the Lord. That's what the fruit of it is.